Welcome to Empire Building, the podcast where we talk about building big businesses and even bigger lives. I'm your co-host, Seychelle Van Poole.
I'm Via Williams.
I'm Sarah Reynolds.
And I'm Wendy Papazan. As working moms and dads, we worry a lot about whether or not we're raising our kids right. I'm sure all of our listeners would agree, at least those with kids. And personally, as someone who grew up knowing the value of a dollar and the value of hard work, I'm honestly a little worried that my kids are going to grow up spoiled or entitled. And I recently...
Yeah, for sure.
It's a legit fear. And I think it does happen. It's impossible for it not to happen. And I recently read a great article from Nathan Barry, who is the founder of ConvertKit. And he's got a lot of great stuff there. You can go to Nathan Barry. It's BARRY.com to find the article. But it inspired me to write this episode. And honestly, I've borrowed quite liberally from his newsletter as well as added a few things to it. So...
Thank you, Nathan.
Yes. So we're going to talk about today, we're going to talk about eight things that you can do to help your kids build wealth. And Nathan starts off this article by saying the opposite of spoiled isn't poor. I think sometimes we think of like spoiled rich kids.
Yeah.
The opposite of spoiled is actually grateful. And I love this. I love that when I heard it because I've worked really hard on my gratitude habit and I hopefully have shared it with my children. And so just as a reminder, just because kids are wealthy doesn't mean they're necessarily spoiled. It just means they're ungrateful. So, Via, why don't you kick us off with number one of eight things to help your kids build wealth?
Oh, wow. That is really powerful. And I will do that. And I found myself reflecting, I mean, forever, I think we all do this, but forever, I have made my kids and spouse and all of us sit around the business, or sorry, sit around the dinner table every night that we eat dinner together.
Sometimes it feels like a business table.
Yeah, everybody has to say they're gratefuls, but really quick, a funny story about it. When the kids were really young, I used to do peaks and pits. I'd say, okay, like what, you know, give us a peak and pit of your day, right? That's how we started it.
I love that.
And it was like, wah, wah, wah. It was like the pits. It was like, and then this was the pits. And I'm like, whoa, we're gonna rewind this. We're going to do gratefuls. And we've been doing gratefuls for probably 10 years as a family because the whole peaks and pit thing was spiraling a little bit. Like it wasn't really going where I wanted it to go, you know? So, I make them say gratefuls. And I know we all know this really quick, but when you do it every day, it just forces you to go in different directions. You can't just, I'm grateful for my health. I'm grateful for my family. Mm-hmm. You know, it really makes them to think. And so what we do when we do gratefuls, the little difference on it is we'll say, well, I'll say, because I usually lead that, you know, what are you grateful for today? Or it's your birthday. What are you grateful for this year, this birth year, you know, this last trip around the sun? Or, you know, if it's Christmas, what are you grateful for this Christmas? I'll always add like a specific sort of time frame or subject so that it makes their brains kind of go in different direction. So I thought I would add that. That was really good.
Well, and I think that's the research behind it is you should be grateful for something specific. If you're just kind of mailing in your gratefuls, you know, you want to be like, I'm so grateful that I got to spend time with my dog this afternoon. It just makes you appreciate the actual little things. So,
you know, maybe you're right. Maybe I should reword it and just say, what are you specifically grateful for? That's a really good, a good tip, Wendy. Thank you. Appreciate you. Okay. So number one of our six tips, I mean, wait, what? Whoa.
It's actually eight.
No,
it's
eight. I can't. I don't think my brain can do
it's
that.
It's six plus two.
Okay, six plus two. Because we always do six things.
We're building wealth. So,
number one tip. Six plus two bonus tips.
There you go. That's how I view this. Okay. So number one, add our kids as an authorized user on our oldest credit card. So a lot of you guys don't know this, but you can add someone as an authorized user on a credit card that you own. And since the average age of account matters on your credit history, it matters a lot, by the way, you can give your kids a really big leg up by adding them to one of your oldest cards because it shows a lot of credit history, certainly relative to their age, right? It doesn't cost anything, and there's kind of 100 percent upside, especially they may not even know about it. You can just add them and even you can use it periodically, by the way. But Wendy talked about this on Twitter, I believe, Wendy, and you can feel free to jump in. But a few friends said that their parents did this for them and they literally went into college with an 800 plus credit score with an 18-year credit history. Was that you, Sarah? Mm-hmm.
That was actually amazing. My mom did that for me. And that's how I was able to buy a house right out
Same
of college.
Here.
And
amazing.
My credit score was where it was. And it was, she added me to two credit cards that I had 18 plus years of history.
Did you know about it? Did you know that you were added?
No, I did not know. Yep. She did that also for my husband who, was born in Nigeria. So he didn't have credit history and couldn't purchase much at all. And she did the same thing for him, which I think is so special. And he was able to make purchases pretty soon after we got married because she did that. So it makes a difference.
I love that. Yeah. Well, I love that so much. And there are a couple of details. Like, you never, ever want to miss a payment on this card because that'll go the opposite direction. Yes. That would harm them, not help them. A blemish is going to be passed, just like a, yep.
Yep.
They don't have to know about it. So, you know, the kind of second good tips on this are don't even give it to them. They don't need to know. They shouldn't even know they're added to it. But you might want to use it once or twice to just keep it active, you know, for your purchases if you want. And then the third one is most major banks will allow authorized users without a minimum age. Sometimes you'll find there's a minimum age of 13, sometimes 15. So I'm finding myself thinking, well, Zoe's 12. She turns 13 in October. I'll probably just go ahead and wait until later this year, but certainly I'll do that for the boys now. That's a great tip, Wendy.
Yeah,
thank you.
I never even heard of it, and I literally went online to Chase, and it took like less than 2 minutes. I just did it a couple weeks ago.
My parents did that when I was 13, and when I went to college, we put all of my living expenses on that card, and then I had to manage the budget then. Because you could have, like, I was added to the American Express, and you could have a separate, statement for each card. And so then I would have to audit each card, that one card every month, and account for the living expenses and report back. So it kind of taught me a little bit of financial management and P&L. I was older, obviously. It was, like, you know, 15 to 20 is when they added me on there. It was at 15 and then all the way through 22, I think. But it helped me then also audit my financials every month, which was really cool. The second one is a fun one, which is, if you're building wealth, part of it too is having control of your own destiny. And for our kids, some of the ways we can do that is establishing the ability for them to literally own their own identity online. And so that includes buying their website, like buying their name in a .com. So, like, we own QuinnEngelhard.com. And then we don't know what the landscape is going to look like, but you can kind of think about, like, other domains or other accounts that they might need to have, like an email address. Also if it's Facebook or Instagram or TikTok or whatever you think might be something that's relevant long-term, depending on the age of your kids, that's something that you can do. And then with Quinn's email address, we actually set that up where I email her account to keep it current, like to keep it like where it doesn't get timed out, but I'll email her Gmail account we set up for her and I email her memories. And so when she turns 18, we'll give her password and it's going to have all these like memories in there from her as a kid. So kind
and
of a fun way to...
spam.
And so much so spam. I do go in and clean it out. I do go clean it out every now and then. I actually clean hers out probably more than I do my own, if
hey,
we're going to be on it.
Happy 18th birthday.
Here's
and
9
here's
million emails.
from 9 years ago.
Oh, this company's
the
no
gift
longer
that keeps
business,
on giving. But it was relevant, I promise, at one point.
Excuse me.
So the third tip on ways to help build your kids' wealth is to set up their college savings account. So I know for me, I believe that one of the best gifts that my parents gave me was no college debt, honestly. Yeah. And my parents sacrificed so much to put all three of us through college. And it's such a gift. And so anytime that you can do that and start saving right now, I know... people that have the means to also, if you have siblings that don't have the means, even for your nieces and nephews, like if you have the ability to start helping save for college, it is definitely worth doing right now. You do want to be careful not to overfund an account. And you can actually roll funds between kids. So it's if one goes to an expensive university and another maybe decides to skip college altogether, you can use the funds from just one account.
That's what we did. Yeah, it just seemed like it makes more sense because there's more flexibility there. And then it's just like one less account to manage, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And like hopefully the older one doesn't drain it completely, you know, and the older one's kind of stuck and the younger one's kind of stuck.
Yep. We as sort of a backup, we also have bought like a house for each kid in terms of for their college education as well. But we are doing the tax-free savings accounts for tax savings as well. And just as a disclaimer, none of us are financial planners, so please seek your financial planner for all financial advice. Well, thank you.
Well, and the other thing you can do now, they made it legal to spend your 529 on private education. So it's a great way to pay for private schools tax-free.
Yes, I forgot about that. Thank you, Wendy.
When I was reviewing this episode, you know, hours, days before we recorded it, like 5 minutes before we recorded it, I saved this to share during this section. And again, per Sarah's disclaimer, you know, none of us are residency experts or sort of, you know, in-state tuition, out-of-state tuition experts. But my oldest son went to UT Austin, and Texas does have great residency laws because a lot of states, you can't get residency while you're a full-time student for obvious reasons. Otherwise, everybody would go with out-of-state tuition first year and then flip, right? But Texas has something where if you own a property, you can get in-state tuition or in-state residency, I should say, in 12 months. So we bought a home in Austin, Texas, and he filled it up with, there's four of them in this little three-bedroom home, and it does not cash flow. It costs us about $400 a month. And the irony is the dorms with the meal plan and everything were about $1,200 a month.
Yeah.
So it's to us it was a savings, right?
We're gonna make
profit on college. We're gonna make money from sending Michael to college. So his first year he did pay you know, out of state tuition. And then it's switched to in state. The interesting thing is that we've already made a profit. Because of the Austin market, we've already made more than we will pay in to fund his college, which is amazing.
Well,
so I think that you should look into this if your kids are going out of state.
But I mean, don't think that's totally abnormal what you're experiencing. Probably. Yeah. So I mean,
Austin,
I think that is amazing.
Right,
yeah, it's been an unprecedented year for real estate appreciation. Mm-hmm. So don't expect that, guys, mm-hmm. but just do the math. You know, that's what Via is saying, is like, mm-hmm. think about different options out there. And
well, and to your point, and then we'll move on to the fourth one. But to your point, Wendy, you're absolutely right. From a sheer cash flow perspective, we didn't know the market was going to take off like that when we bought it. We didn't speculate mm-hmm. that. What we did speculate, however, was that 4 or 5 years in, when he was done, that it probably would at least cash flow and zero mm-hmm. base as a rental, just because of, you know, normal inflation. And so it will, you know. And so even if we never sell it, the fact is we own a cash flowing, it probably future cash flowing asset in Austin, Texas. So,
yeah, that's awesome.
It's the place to be.
It is the place to be. I'm glad we own property there.
Yeah.
A friend of mine was talking with me about her executive MBA experience, and it really got me thinking. You know, it's a big investment, it's expensive, it's time consuming, and you're gambling on who you'll meet, who your professors are going to be, and what you're actually going to get out of it. Our conversation reminded me of why we created Empire Circle at Her Best Life. We flipped the script and created something really special for our experiential learners like me. While academia is absolutely important to our community as a whole, it doesn't always equate to what we need while we are building the big business in real time. With Empire Circle, you'll learn from women who've actually built the big businesses and who are still in the arena doing it. You don't have to step away. Our retreats take you to exotic locations instead of classrooms where you'll grow your revenue, hone your strategy, find your community, and expand your big, beautiful life all in real time. Why step out of your business when you can step into Empire Circle? Apply for Empire Circle now at herbestlife.com.
Yeah, and in relation to that, so our number four is you can gift your kids up to $15,000 a year that they don't have to pay taxes on. So you'll be still using your after-tax dollars for this, but they won't pay income tax on it. And anything you put towards their 529 counts towards that 15 per year, 15K per year limit. And if you're married, you can actually give each kid $15,000 a year for a total of 30K per year. Anything more than that will count against your lifetime gift exemption, which I'm not sure what that is. But and if you don't want to contribute more towards their 529, you could just give them the money directly. They don't even have to know about it if they're young, and it's tax-free for them, and it spreads out your giving to avoid using part of your lifetime exemption. So you should just be probably giving your kids tax-free as much money as you can afford.
I need to get better at doing that, like in December. I'm, you know, like tallying up and maxing that. That's really good. Speaking of which, number five, we can pay our kids wages of up to $12,000 per year. This is the best because it's a deductible for you. It's tax free for them. They actually have to do the work though. And this is, you know, pretty documented work. We can get super fancy and we can create a one person, LLC that you're paying into. There's a whole bunch of fancy stuff if you want to go down the rabbit hole on this, which we won't today. But you can go farther with this as well. But they have to do real work. And I think that's part of the lesson of this, by the way.
Yeah, you can't pay them $1,000 an hour or anything like that. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It has to be
auditable. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But if you figure that's $1,000 a month, Wendy, on average, you know, it's like 250 a week. Like, what could they do for 250 a week? That's, legit. Mm-hmm.
So I have a 9-year-old and a 7-year-old, and we are doing this. And they help us with mailings. Mm-hmm. And so there are legit work tasks that they can do. Yeah. And we have a mail house in the office. And so we're just paying them the same hourly rate. But they help with mailings. They help with other administrative sort of tasks. And so those are just some ideas that you can have kids at variety of ages handle. So
Quinn was our greeter at our welcome. Yeah, like at our client events. Sorry, V, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, I'm sorry. I love that. Quinn is the best welcomer ever.
She's got it down.
And what were you saying about Aiden? He does a lot of data input
for us, Wendy. So I find that when we have to transfer things from databases, he's always our go-to. He is just, it's like $15 an hour, $20 an hour stuff. And we really need it. We legit need it. And he can do it on his own time. And social media, as they get into high school, a lot of them are probably better suited to do your social media than you. So,
That's awesome.
I have three kids. So does Sarah. That's $36,000 a year adjusted off of effectively our adjusted gross income, which I'm not doing this really that well. We're doing it a little bit, but I don't think I'm maxing this stuff out well. So I'm grateful for this episode.
My kids are old. They don't want to work for me.
Yeah.
Quinn has already started negotiating her hourly wage. She's like, I don't think that's enough for that job. Like, all right, Missy. Get to work.
Well, you know what you can do, Seychelles? And I'm going to talk about this a little bit later when we talk about compound interest. It's one of our bonus tips. But I had my kids do some work. We were doing some Her Best Life mailings kind of stuff. And of course, they asked how much they would get paid. And in my mind, I was thinking I was going to probably pay them about $250. And so I decided to plug that into a compound interest calculator and project it out to their retirement age, which if you put 250 if you put $250 in an account, in an interest-bearing account that's getting 10% interest, in 50 years, that's worth about $24,000. I think it was, no, it was $29,347.71. So when they asked me what they were getting paid, I was like, guys, you're in luck. Mama's feeling rich today. The good news is you're getting paid $29,347.71. And they were like, you should have seen the look on their faces. They were like, that's like a car for each of them. You know what I mean? And I was like, well, and that's the good news. They're like, wait, what's the bad news? Like, well, the bad news is you don't get it for 50 years. So I was like, wah, wah, wah. But then it was also a good lesson in compound interest. So
I am absolutely
this is like Wendy's giving tips on how to negotiate with Quinn right now. Like, well,
I'm literally feeling that. I'm absolutely feeling that because she is she's an amazing negotiator, like out the gate. So speaking of retirement age, so our number six tip is actually you can contribute to a Roth IRA for your kids. And, you know, you may have heard the last one we were talking about with paying them wages and thought, gosh, that's too much work for me to track and, you know, not that much upside on how I'm doing it, which is fair. But where it gets really interesting is with a Roth IRA. You know, the downside with that, as Wendy mentioned, is you can't access those funds until you're 59 and a half. But this is huge because it's creating a financial discipline with them already because you're putting in future funds for them that they can access later. And there are some exemptions that allow you to have qualifying events to take money out from that or take a loan from it, which is like birth or adoption of a child, medical expenses, a home purchase, and there's a few others in there too. But, you know, in order to do this, your kids actually have to earn income to contribute to their Roth. So that's the next step we're going to talk about then is, you know, how we get into actually helping them with that income part.
So those six tips were amazing, you guys. And today, and today only, you get two bonus tips.
bonus tip number one, AKA number seven tip.
Is, as Wendy said, teach them about compound interest. This is such an important thing for them to understand. And honestly, the earlier they understand it, the better, because they will be fiercely sort of protective over any income that they get or gifts, money for their birthday, things like that, because they can turn that money into thousands and thousands of dollars through understanding compound interest. So there's a lot of great videos on it and making sure, and also calculators, as Wendy mentioned. So I very regularly pull up the calculator online. I also do this a lot with my team members, especially if there's ever like a question on, you know, oh man, that, you know, that one was really hard and it my dollar per hour was like low on that sale or something like that. And then if you put that same dollar amount into a compound interest calculator and you can show people, well, make sure you save it wisely because you can turn that hard work into a lot more money. And so you can go online to compound interest calculators and it will tell you what the amount will be. So
that's so cool. I love that. Well, and then the last bonus tip, AKA tip number eight, is to, I think you do your kids a big favor by allowing them to manage their money early on. So I've done lots of things wrong with my kids, but one of the things that I've done right is they do understand the value of a dollar. And I think one of the main reasons this is because starting at age three, I actually gave them an allowance that was commensurate with their age. So when they were three, they got a $3 a week allowance. And when they were four, they got a $4 a week allowance. And what this did was, first of all, it stopped every single fight in Target about them wanting to buy something. Because whenever they would ask me to buy something at Target, I would turn to them and I would say, well, did you bring your money?
Yeah.
And of course they didn't. They were three. They would forget it every single time. And it's not like I'm going to remind them when they walk out the door. So pretty much we'd get to Target and I would say, well, did you bring your money? And they would say no. And I said, well, next time bring your money and then you could get what you want. And it was great. So it just like stopped that conversation. The other thing about giving them a tiny allowance is that $3 really doesn't buy you anything at Target, even 15 years ago when my kids were getting their $3 allowance. And so what we did instead was is we would drive down to a little used toy store in Austin called Anna's Toy Depot. And what that showed them was that you actually could buy something for $3 at the used toy store. And Gus, my oldest, would buy these little Matchbox cars that at Target were probably $4 or $5. And at Anna's, they were all 99 cents. And so, of course, when they got their $3, they wanted to spend it on something. And so either we'd go to the used toy store, or if they wanted something special at Target, they knew if it was $12, they'd have to save up 4 weeks.
Yeah.
And so that really taught them the importance of saving. And I can remember I was out with a good friend of mine. Our kids were the same age. And her son wanted to get some Legos. And they were like, it was like $30. He didn't have any money. And she's like, well, I'll loan you the money. And I just like, in my mind, I mean, I didn't say anything, but in my mm-hmm. mind, I'm like, no. Because basically she became the credit card for this kid. Right. So whenever he wanted something, he got it. There was no self-discipline. There was no delayed gratification. And he was able to kind of get everything he wanted and then pay his mom back, you know, kind of whenever he wanted to. Oh.
That's such a good life lesson. And that's actually something, Wendy, you talked about with me a long time ago when Quinn was little bitty, and is something that we've done. And the other cool part about that is when a kid says they want something and they have to spend their own money on it, it really makes them decide, like, do I really want to part with this money or not? Like, and so Quinn for a long time would be like, I really want this. And I'm like, well, I didn't bring money to spend on that today. So if you want to buy it, you can do it with your own money. But if you don't, then that's totally cool too. And then on the things that she wanted, but she didn't want to spend her money on, we'd take a picture and create a photo album. And that became like her birthday gift list or her Christmas gift list. So then we had that to send to people for birthday gift ideas, which was helpful too.
I love that, Say. That's so smart.
Yeah. Well, Wendy did it. So.
Yes. Yes. I love it. So this was awesome. 8 ways to help our kids build wealth, help your kids build wealth. And I took pages of notes. I was sending George messages with my notes as we went along, because this episode was really good. And really, I think the big thing is sort of how we started, right? The opposite of spoiled is grateful. And so when you follow these 8 things, what ends up happening is that you have kids that do have gratitude because they do understand how each dollar matters. They also, most of them will come out understanding the sacrifices that you've made to get them to where they are. So add them as an authorized user on your oldest credit card, buytheirname.com, set up their college savings account, get them $15,000 per year that they don't pay taxes on, pay them wages of $12,000 per year, contribute to a Roth IRA, teach them about compound interest, and give your kids an allowance and help them learn how to manage money. So thank you guys for listening today. Our hope is that you continue having big businesses, but even bigger lives. And when we can look at our kids and see the joy of having kids that are grateful, man, that is a big life. So get out there and big business and big life. Thanks, guys.
Bye. Bye, guys.
Thank you.
Bye.
This podcast is for general informational purposes only. The views, thoughts, and opinions of the guest represent those of the guest and not KWRI and its affiliates, and should not be construed as financial, economic, legal, tax, or other advice. This podcast is provided without any warranty or guarantee of its accuracy, completeness, timeliness, or results from using the information.